the president's new idea for cutting wasteful spending.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Since forever, presidents have battled Congress over which spending is unnecessary and how to eliminate it. Today, President Obama sends a bill to Congress that would give him a new way to eliminate so-called earmarks in congressional spending bills. Marketplace's Janet Babin is with us live. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Janet, we have heard these spending bills can get pretty bloated. What would President Obama's proposal do?
Well, this would enable presidents to take some time and go over congressional spending bills with a fine-tooth comb. They could see what they like, what they don't like, cross some stuff off, and then send those spending bills back with certain items vetoed. And then Congress would get an up or down vote on the president's entire new version of the bill.
Which is different from the line item veto how. And that's where the president crosses out one thing or the other, right?
Right. This was back in the 90s. That line item veto would take effect immediately, and then it would take a two-thirds majority in Congress to vote the individual spending changes down. So this wouldn't be as powerful because, again, all of Congress would have to vote on the president's version as if it were he were bringing or she were bringing a new bill in front of them.
And what are the odds this bill becomes reality?
Well, I contacted Doug Elliott this morning with the Brookings Institution, a Washington think tank, and he says any way you look at it, this is going to take power away from the House and the Senate and give it to the president. He says he'd be surprised if Congress went along with it.
Janet Babin, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now let's do this morning's numbers. European markets have turned lower, and it doesn't help that the Spanish government stepped in over the weekend and bailed out a regional bank there. Asian markets were mixed today. On Wall Street, stocks had a good end to a bad week. The Dow ended Friday at 10,193. That's down about 10% in the last month. A one-man business story is playing out in the NBA, where Cleveland Cavaliers star LeBron James is set to become a free agent. Other teams are lining up to steal him away, while the Cavaliers are working creatively to keep King James where he is. Here's Marketplace's Jill Barshe.
That's a new music video in which Ohio's governor, Ted Strickland, is begging LeBron James to stay in Cleveland. Paul Swangard runs a sports marketing program at the University of Oregon. He says Cleveland's desperate to keep LeBron's star power. He fills stadiums, boosts television ratings, and brings in oodles of corporate sponsorships.
It could be tens of millions of dollars in franchise value that just sort of vanishes, you know, the day LeBron steps on a plane to a new market.
And plenty of other cities are jockeying for LeBron. Cleveland may outbid them, but Swangard says LeBron might take a smaller paycheck for a team that can bring him a championship ring, the one thing he still lacks.
He understands that his marketability can be ratcheted to a whole new level with a larger market to provide a, you know, a stronger platform for him.
LeBron is often compared to another global marketing icon, Michael Jordan. And one of LeBron's top suitors is the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan's former team. I'm Jill Barshe from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. By Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to present, demonstrate, and train online. More at gotomeeting.com/market. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to strengthen America by empowering more young people to achieve educational success beyond high school.
The pain of the housing crash is not limited to the average working-class American. Eddie Murphy's been trying to sell his New Jersey mansion for 5 years, and he has now knocked $15 million off the price tag. And poor Nicolas Cage tried to sell his Bel Air home for $35 million, couldn't find a buyer, put it up for auction starting at $10 million, and got zero bids. Cash Peters tells us luxury homeowners just have trouble admitting their dream home is not worth what they thought.
Really, it's textbook stuff. Panic selling 101. As the market plunges, ordinary people who want to get rid of their houses lower the price and take what they can.
Well, they have to. They don't have any money. They'll lose the house anyway, so they do panic and take the loss.
Exactly. A lot of rich people, on the other hand, because they're well padded, I guess, refuse to lower their price. Bernice Gershon is like the empress of Beverly Hills real estate. And she'll tell you, wealthy sellers can drive you nuts.
They don't always listen. They have minds of their own, and they just hang on and hang on and hang on, and there's nothing you can do to change them.
Yeah, great. Meanwhile, the price plummets, and the house is worth way, way less than they paid for it. So is it because they're stinking rich, or reckless, or just plain... Well, you know, Chris Thornburg's a financial analyst.
Frankly, no one's ever accused the Hollywood elite of being, shall we say, financial experts on this sort of stuff.
They are they dim, really, when it comes to something like finance and property?
Two words, Nicolas Cage.
Okay, point taken. But there's another factor, too.
Human beings are loath to acknowledge losses. The disposition of the asset brings home the pain of loss, if you will.
Okay, so who are we talking about exactly? Lynn Beavers is Realtors of the Stars in L.A. Which celebrities are stubbornly and illogically hanging onto their homes, Lynn?
Well, a lot of them. But a lot of them that are really smart and have really smart business managers are selling these places.
Name one.
I can't really name one.
Oh, come on, I just insist you do.
I don't want to.
Rats. What is it with people and professional ethics? Anyway, according to Chris Thornburg, if you're underwater currently, then sitting tight, which is what got you into trouble in the first place, might now be the only thing that gets you out of it.
Prices today are low, and they will bounce back over the course of the next few years. And in that case, it's probably an asset worth hanging on to. Yeah, let's paraphrase Tolstoy. Every homeowner with equity is basically the same, and every underwater homeowner is miserable in their own distinct way, if you
Tolstoy
will.
Tolstoy wrote that.
I think something like that, right?
whatever you say. In Los Angeles... I know, but what can you do? In Los Angeles, I'm Cash Peters for Marketplace.
And finally, last night, ABC aired the finale of its blockbuster series, Lost. For six seasons, obsessed viewers have demanded answers. Where is Walt? What is the Dharma Initiative? What does the island mean? And last night, ABC delivered a stunner. It turns out the whole thing never happened. It was only a TV show. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.